Hi, Pastor Brian Broderson here, and I would like to invite those of you who are pastors, ministry leaders, anyone serving in the church to join us for this year's CGN International Conference. Our theme this year is Hope, Suffering, and Glory, and we're going to be studying through the first epistle of Peter. It's going to be a fantastic time. We've got 9 speakers who are going to be our main session speakers. We've got a number of fantastic workshops, caring for your own soul. It's going to be a fantastic time. The dates are June 23rd to the 26th, and that's going to be held at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. So if you're interested and would like to find out more, you can go to conference.calvarychapel.com. You can get registered there as well, and there's an early bird prize for those that register before April 1st. That is conference.calvarychapel.com. God bless.
All right, welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast, and I'm here with my best friend, JJ Johnson.
What up, dude?
What's up? JJ and I have done ministry together. We have rode mountain bikes together. We have snowboarded together. We have had dinner together. What else have we done?
I drove you to the hospital when you broke your collarbone.
Oh, I broke my collarbone when I was with him. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know JJ, he's a pastor, but in his former life, he was a professional snowboarder. So we went snowboarding together. And in my former life, I wasn't a professional snowboarder.
But you're good. You can shred for sure.
I was actually a skier. A lot of people don't know that. I was a ski racer. Remember that one time I did a helicopter?
I could cue it up right now.
Put some B-roll in there. I did the mid-90s pole plant and everything. Oh, my goodness.
I relive that memory often.
You brought that up for like months after that.
Yeah, it's still in my, the boys talk about it all the time.
I'm glad I had such an impact on the Johnson family.
That was fun, dude. That was a really good season for me.
Totally, me too. Yeah. So JJ is in Bellingham, Washington, and it's in the Northwest Pacific Northwest and the furthest northwest corner above Seattle. And we were up there. That's where we lived. Myself, our family, we lived there for, I think, about four years we were up there. Yeah. And my wife, Lynn, is from the area. She went to junior high and high school in that area. And so we went and planted a church up there. And long story short, we met this awesome dude up there who was a really good guy. Not only that, but had a heart for ministry, working at a local Calvary Chapel in the area. And, you know, one thing led to another, and we connected up. He was pastoring at the church that we planted early on. And then now he is the senior. You call yourself senior pastor or lead pastor?
Lead pastor.
Or even like co-team pastor member.
Yeah. I go by JJ. Yeah.
When people come and they go to the you guys still don't have membership, right? Or do you?
No.
Okay. When they go to like the meet the bridge, meet the church, do you insist that they call you pastor?
Yeah. That's like JJ. We don't do formal membership, but we do ask 3 things. Number 1, that you call me Pastor JJ. No, it's one of those things like we have so many people that have either like never been to church or are coming back from from their childhood and stuff that God spoke to them, and maybe they gave their life to the Lord as kids, but have been kind of doing their own thing and come back. So it's pretty casual, you know, JJ. And then, but a lot of people, it's, you know how it is. They want to, it's Pastor JJ. So just wherever people are at, I just roll with them.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting the way that culture has changed over the years when it comes to churches. I mean, I remember a time even when I was a new Christian in Bible college where it was always almost like required that you say Pastor so-and-so if you're going to talk, like as a sign of respect.
Totally.
And I think that's fine. Although I did know a lot of pastors who they insisted on that, not because of they wanted to make sure that young people had respect or whatever, but because they loved having that place of authority.
Yeah. The dingleberries on their robes and the whole bit. Yeah. And you know, so it is a sign. It's I think the same thing sometimes with like hats off for praying or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
I remember, yeah. You know, yeah. I used to go to church with this old guy and we were praying collectively at the church and I felt this hand reach over my head and pull my hat off. And I was like, what the heck? And then, you know, and then I got to know the guy, it like made me mad. It was years and years and years ago. And so I grabbed my hat and put it back on, like, don't do that to me. And it was like this thing. But once I got to know him, when I stood by him, when we prayed, I'd take my hat off. And then one day I took my hat off, set it on my chair, and the same hand that took it off, grabbed the hat off of my chair and put it back on my head. So it was
really?
Just like, yeah, it was a cool thing. So for some people, it's really a sign of respect. And I'm like, that's rad. And for others, it's a barrier, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. I'm teaching through Acts right now. And chapter 21 and chapter 22, Paul goes back to Jerusalem. And they like want him to do all these things for the Jewish believers there. And he's like, you know, he does them. Mm-hmm. Not because he has to, because he wants to become all things to all men.
Totally.
And good advice, I mean, for young church planters, because me and JJ, we're very similar. We remember the way we used to be. Like, don't take my hat off my head. You know, I can get tattoos and stand up here and you're going to look at them, you know, whatever it is. And it's kind of like almost a rebellious spirit that's going to really, really hinder. You got to think about every generation in the church, not just the young ones or the ones that are like you.
Yeah, it's a weird thing about being unique, but it actually creeps in as a form of pride, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yep.
Good insight. So JJ took over the church after we left. We handed it over. We probably didn't do the best job of everything, you know. You learn a lot. Just laugh. And you know, you learn along the way. But the church is going great. Why don't you give us a little bit of update on what the church is like and what you guys do and what you're doing right now?
Well, it's crazy, dude. This in May or June will be 6 years. Since I took over from when we were together. And so I took over in 20, I think it was 18. Kathy knows all the dates the best. She keeps all the dates. But, and then obviously COVID. So we were meeting at that school, at the middle school where we were at for.
Yeah, like, I handed it over just in time for COVID. So
yeah, appreciate that. And, and we had that other building downtown. So we needed to make like a few financial changes. So we were at the school, COVID happened. We lost our building on a Thursday. And then, you know, so we had to pivot. So we did the whole online thing and we were online for 50 weeks.
Dang.
50. I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do 8 of these because they were like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then 50 weeks later, we rented in the afternoon this space that now God has provided for us to meet, which was always my favorite location in town. Yeah.
So just for our listeners, whenever we would drive by this building, I would look at it, I'd be like, that would be a perfect church building. And a church was meeting in it, a great church.
Yeah,
was
awesome. There.
And I was always jealous of that church, you know, like they're great, but can we should be able to be there too.
Yeah. So that pastor Dax, you know how with you, so one of my hearts is to be really connected in our city to other ministries and just people, you know, be about the city. Yeah. And so we knew this church that was here and Pastor Dax. And so I felt like the Lord kind of, cause we were looking, I was looking at every property that was out at coming into 2021 or whatever. And I just felt like, okay, all of this is going on. I don't know how many people go to this church. We pretty much have replanted, which I think a lot of churches have kind of had to do.
Yeah. I was just about to say, it's just like almost a restart, refresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so we rented this place. They let us use it in the Sunday afternoons. If you ever plan it for your church planters, don't meet at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. It's
I always thought that. I'm glad you said that, because I always thought that I'm like, that's not a good time.
No, it's horrible. But it's the only time that was available because their youth group met in the evening. I was like, could we do Sunday evenings? And that didn't work. So for like 3 months, we met. We would set up and tear down in their sanctuary, you know, in their spot. Mm-hmm. So we didn't mess with their audio or whatever. And so we would set up and tear down. And it was like meeting in someone else's living room, kind of, but it's just, yeah. it was the door that God opened for us.
Yeah.
And,
you got to put all the doilies back on the couch where they were before you
totally,
got there, you know,
and totally
like coasters. You got to make sure the coasters are in the right spot.
Yep. All the things, make sure that's vacuumed and like, and we did that. And then just one day, that pastor was like, hey, we're actually moving. They found another spot. They took over this other place that's outside of the city center a little bit, and which we can talk about, but the city center of Bellingham and some West Coast cities, there's like a dynamic down here that's can be, you know, hard to navigate. Anyways, we prayed, we met the building owner. God gave us like tons of favor. This dude, we got along from get-go, and they moved out at the end of June, and we moved in July 1st. It'll be 3 years ago this July that we've been in the building. And so we came back. We were like 30, 40 people, you know, because of all the COVID stuff. And God's been crazy faithful. And it's pretty dope. Yeah, it's been hard, but it's rad.
Yeah, totally. I remember last time I talked to you, I was telling you how impressed I was with just seeing pictures on social media and what you guys are doing in the community and all that stuff. So props to you, man. Good job.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Pastor, I learned Pastor JJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Don't you forget it.
Step one, Pastor JJ. Step two, never make eye contact. Always look down.
That's right.
Cool. So, talking about downtown Bellingham, this was probably one of the most unique places we've been and we've church planted. And you're from Colorado, but have been in Bellingham for a long time, right?
Yeah, we've been here 15 years now.
Okay. And so Bellingham is like you said, especially Pacific Northwest or West Coast cities, there's a lot of, it's very, let's just say this, it's very political there, and it's night and day difference between the outside of the city center and the county where there's the farmers and the ranchers. Mm-hmm. I believe when Trump was doing his first election thing, he went up to the Linden is where what it's called, the little city right outside 30, of Bellingham.
Yeah.
Did his thing up there.
Yeah.
And huge success or hit with the locals in the area, except when you get to Bellingham, Western Washington University's there. There's probably, what is there, like 150,000 people?
I think we're hitting 100,000. I say we're a small city of 100,000.
Okay. Yeah. And it's like it's almost like a mini Portland in a lot of ways. That's how I felt.
Yeah. It's a lot of similarities. Yeah. Like when I was talking to Fusco, you know, and it's like, I say it's a place where the left and the right come just crashing in the middle.
Yeah.
And so it has problems, but there's actually, if you look at it as a place where we think of the bridge is just that, like this middle bridge, point.
That's the name of the church, the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so anyways, it's actually like a place where if people can come together here, I really think this place is kind of like ground zero for, like if God can do it here, man, it's pretty
sweet. I remember hearing a statistic when we were there, so 6 years ago or whatever it was, and it was like the nation was something like 60 or 70% Christian, like of all Christian types.
Right.
And then, you know, non-Christian or nuns, no religious was like 17%, 20%, something like that. And then the rest were different religions.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Bellingham, when we moved there, someone told us, I can't remember who it was, but it's like the exact opposite. It's basically like 60% no religion, mm-hmm. and then only like 20 or so percent. That's in the town or in the mm-hmm. city center there. So
yeah, I would say there's truth to that, but everyone has people. I think this is a place where some people moved here to escape what they would call like religious organization. But I just hear of all places, I'm like, people are just searching for God. So mm-hmm. you could define it however you want, but I really think we're in a season where people are really hungry for like truth.
Yeah.
You know, yep. what is true. And so
in places like that, I never really felt like an anti-Christian thing from people. Mm-mm. And that's what I expected when I first was up there. I'm like, oh, people are going to be like telling me how horrible I am. I mean, and some people do, you know, you get all kinds, but overall.
Plus you're you.
Yeah. 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 So they're like, don't look at me. I don't like you. You must be a Christian. No, they were, for the most part, people were kind of indifferent. It was like, and a lot of people didn't even know, like, over the last little bit. So I left before things really got divided in the nation mm-hmm. with COVID and the elections and all that stuff. So now people kind of, when they think of Christians, they kind of have something that they think of, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
But back then I felt like it was pretty open, to what we had to say, what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were right downtown there too. And you guys aren't far off. You're just up the road now. So
yeah, we're right across from the high school. And yeah, it's a cool
spot. Remember those two drunk guys that fell over during your message? Was that you? That was when you were preaching, right?
Yeah. And you passed out mid message.
Did you think this is the Holy Spirit?
No, I was like, am I boring? But we had a firefighter, Matt was there. So I'm like, I was like, Matt, take care of that.
Yes. So for our listeners, it was right. I mean, it was downtown where there's quite a large homeless population for such a small city.
Yeah.
Is it still that way?
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. So we would clean up the drug needles and all that stuff before church service, and all were welcome.
We
meant it.
What? That building, somebody just hit us up about that building.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we haven't been in that end. So we're just at the other end of Cornwall. We haven't been there in like, well, 6 years, because we got rid of that place when I took over. And, but it says bridge on the back where you painted back there, the big, that's still back there. But the last tenants like just let that place go really bad. And there was crazy garbage and all this stuff. And people called the church. Some people thought it was still ours. So thank you.
Oh, man. Were they like, hey, can you clean up your church?
Yeah. We're like, not ours. Brian did that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a team. That was a mission team from the bridge ministry at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego, which is where we came up from.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And time flies.
It really does, dude. There's aspects of it that are so slow. And then there's aspects that like, dang, dude, I can't believe Brian's been gone for, you know, for that long, and all the stuff you've been doing. And
bro, I can't even believe I'm in Florida here. I feel like you'd be good in Florida. I know you don't think so, but I think you would.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
You know what? There's part of me. My wife and I have talked about this. There's part of it. I think I could do okay anywhere.
Yeah.
Because people are just rad kind of everywhere. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this place. Because a lot of people left, you know, a lot of like church people have left, like the Northwest and just mm-hmm. different things, you know, and for different reasons and all that. And it's all good. But I remember when the great exodus was kind of happening, I was like, huh. You know, would I go somewhere? And it was just one of these things. Like, I just felt like this is where I'm supposed to be. And so it's you just take that off the table. I'm like, dude, I, for better, for worse and all the stuff, I just feel so blessed to, you know, to be here. And then I think about our story and like, on the church planting side of things, I mean, I wanted to plant a church here. And then it was clear that this church was going to be planted by you, and I was going to help and learn so much along the way. And then you and I have talked about it, and it's kind of clear that like I was supposed to pastor it eventually, but it's just crazy how all that stuff has come to pass. So I'll come visit.
Yeah. Do you like fishing? Are you fisherman?
Yeah. I'll rip some lips, dude. Catch some bass. Or you go deep sea fishing, huh? Like out.
Yeah,
in the...
you can do that. You can fish off the bridge and everything here. Everybody fishes everywhere. I went mountain biking the other day. There's no mountains here, but they've actually got some good stuff. Good little national parks and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bellingham is some of the best mountain biking anywhere. Except for Whistler, which is only, what is it, like 4 hours away?
Two? Yeah.
Dang.
Two and a half.
Yeah. See, I missed that. But it rains there a lot.
Yeah, don't come.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm going to come visit, though.
You should, dude. It'd be good to see you.
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day about going up to... Oh, yeah, a guy, his brother just moved up to Seattle. And he's going to go up and visit. I'm like, yeah, we should go up and because we're mountain bike. I was mountain biking with him. I'm like, we should go to Bellingham. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to come and stay with you.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'd be cool. Everyone would love to see you.
The story you talked about, the story of when we first got there. And it's actually really a cool. It's like a God story for sure, because JJ had been working in the area at with another Calvary Chapel pastor. He was volunteering for the most part. You weren't planting trees. You were cutting trees.
Oh yeah. Arborist.
Arborist. Yeah.
Yeah.
You still arboring?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. He climbs up way up in the air, cuts stuff down, and it's pretty cool. I'm scared of heights. Just for our listeners' information. But yeah, he was working with this other pastor, and you know, it wasn't in Bellingham. It was outside of the city kind of deal. And, so then we came into town, you know, Californians. And then, although my wife was from the area, so I had a little bit of clout, I guess, but we came into town. Well, she was from Linden. So, but she went to school in Blaine too. So that's, you know, that's all right. And then, we came into town like, hey, we want to plant a church. And someone connected us. And you were like so supportive. You're so positive and everything. And I come to find out later, that was like your dream and vision to plant a church, a Calvary Chapel church in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
And here we were coming in, stealing the dream.
Yeah, dude. Well,
I want to recognize you're just a humble guy, because you did. I never knew that until you said something later on, like way down the road.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Well, we met at the international conference in Costa Mesa.
Okay. Yep.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember. So we were eating lunch, and then I heard, here comes Brian Kelly. He's moving to Bellingham to plant a church. And so you're walking over, and I sized you up from across the parking lot.
Yeah. What did you think at first?
You're like, oh, this guy's a dork. No, but I was like, oh, sick. I was like, he's, you know, young guy. But I also know Bellingham, it's kind of, I don't want to say like a core city, but it's kind of like one of those ones, like, you know how it is, Beeham. It's like a place. It's like a thing a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of like a surf town or like a...
It's a very cultural place. Like there's breweries on every corner. Yeah. There's a lot of nightlife.
It's like Bend,
music.
Oregon. Yeah. It's like a Boulder. It's just kind of that outdoorsy vibe, you know, or whatever. And so, but I remember meeting you and I'm like, oh, this guy's cool. And then I did all the stuff where it's like, dude, he's moving into our turf, you know, the turf war thing.
Yeah,
and And you sort of do this thing where you don't really ask for permission. You just kind of do stuff.
I asked your pastor for what he thought, the one that you were working with.
Yeah.
And he said I should move to Iraq. We won't name any names, but he's like, you know, you're a missionary and you're very good at mission work. So Iraq is really, God's really moving.
He's really moving.
And then I was like, no, we're not really going to feel called to Iraq.
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, you know, even better, if you want to stay local, I can't remember if it was North Dakota or South Dakota. One of the Dakotas, like,
yeah,
North Dakota is really, you
they
know,
really need some
God's
good.
Moving.
They yeah, he's
good,
moving there.
Church. They probably so, do. I don't know. Maybe someone's called to North Dakota or South Dakota out there, and this is just confirming it for you.
Hey, man, you hear like stories of, you know, how I remember hearing how Levi Lesko was called to Montana. It's not what he was looking for. God called him there. But I just felt like this is where I wanted to be. And then here's this dude who's going to come up here. And I met you. And to be honest, you were, you know, a bit of an answer to prayer, because I'd been praying like, Lord, could you bring me like a brother in the faith? Someone who's like my age, that
like-minded,
like-hearted. You know, and then I met you and I was like, okay. And then you move up here. And in the in-between time where I came home and you hadn't moved yet, like I went through all the emotions like, well, what the heck? I kind of thought maybe I would do that. And now here comes this dude. And you know, and I felt all the emotions. And I really felt the Lord say, do not withhold, because we'd been here, you know, almost, dude, that was 9 years ago or 10 years ago or something. So we'd been here like 6 years. We'd been making relationships and just being, right? And I felt the Lord go, don't withhold anything from them. Like, don't hold anything back.
Yeah.
Like any intel.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't have much, but everything I have that God is. So I believe God was like, my hand is on this. So just, you know. And it was evident because I watched you do how God has put you together. And I was like, whoa, pretty rad.
Yeah. And it's awesome because little did you know that all the stuff that you were giving, holding nothing back, that was all investing into what God was doing for your ministry. Like you're the pastor. You've always been the pastor. I just came to start it up and connect it. So,
bro, did I ever tell you? So I went to, after you left, you know how they do that quarterly pastor prayer thing?
Yeah, yeah. That's something I talk about all the time. It's such a cool thing.
Yeah, it's cool. So it's still going. So it's like, you know, 100 pastors or something. We get together and you know, there's like the lead kind of guy who puts it on. And I was at this one. It was not too long after I took over the church. And anytime, and I still feel sort of out of place at pastor's stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there and this dude, he stands up in the middle of the circle. There's 100 chairs around and he grabs an empty chair and he drags it to the middle of the circle. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going, dude, there's no, whatever you're doing right now, the answer, the answer is no, this is not happening. And then he said, it was something like, you know, we're going to like confess our sin or something. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I'm not getting in that. I remember going, no matter what happens today,
there's no way I'm getting in that chair.
And the moment I said that, the Lord spoke right to my heart. And he's like, oh, you're you're getting in the chair. And I was sitting there just being like, there's no, the answer is no, it's not happening. And he's like, you're getting in that chair. I've asked you to lead and you're going to lead by being, I tend to do this thing where I do what God is feel like he's calling me to do for, and people, you kind of grow in front of people. That's part of leading, is you just, your growth is visible. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Mm-hmm. And so no one, he's like, I want to give you a chance to come up here and just confess. And next thing you know, I'm on my feet walking to the middle of the room. No one else had gone. And I
was
like,
were you the first guy?
First.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Man.
And I'm sitting there and in my mind, I'm like, I don't even know. What am I going to say? I was like, you're an idiot. What are you going to
do? Someone else do it first. Then you could have said what they said.
Totally. So I sat down, long story, I'll make it short, sat down and I started like crying. And I was like, dude, I was so embarrassed. It was just embarrassing. There's all these people that I'd done ministry.
These are pastors. So this meeting, I just want our listeners to know, these are all the like pastors from all the surround the city and the surrounding areas of all the like, I would say like evangelical kind of Bible churches. So
yeah,
those are
big ones,
peers.
Little
big
ones,
ones that have been there for years. Yeah.
Thousands of people like they're known. They're like, you know, the heavies, and those dudes are super cool, all that. And this was, you know, 6 years ago. And so I sat down.
Huh? Did they laugh at you when you did it?
I thought they were good. I was like, if Brian's here, he would laugh at me. So here's what I did. I sat down
out loud
and I was like, in that moment, the Lord was like, here's your sin. And I was really afraid, dude. I was afraid because, people were leaving the church. Cause I wasn't you. Like it was all the stuff that happens, part of it. And I was really scared of failing. And I'd had like some really rough words spoken over me in ministry and different things about who I'm not and what I'm not good at and what, and it was like, I didn't know that stuff affected me so bad, but the whole, to your point of you planning the church, but me being called to pastor it, this one man came up and he laid hands on me. It was Derek Archer. And he came up and he laid, cause you guys were homies and your kids went to school together and stuff. And he prayed over me and he said, Lord, how is it that you love this person, this man so much that you would bring another family here from California to start this thing and do this thing? And it was so, and it was just this prophetic word. And it was like really kind of released some of that fear. I still battle it because you want to do a good job and, you know, and you're scared that you don't. But I was like, whoa, I'd never thought of it that way. I just kind of thought of myself as like Brian's replacement that like it's up to me to not kill this thing or blow it. But I'd never really felt that sense of empowering. And the Lord just used that time, but he used it through a confession of fear, which I thought, you know, which was crazy. So
That's awesome. No, it was, I saw God's hand in it the whole time. And like I said, we could have done things better or, you know, different or whatever. We didn't know. We never really, the more I do this, let me just say it like this. The more I do this, the more I realize none of us really know exactly what we're doing. We're just kind of, you see kind of what other people have done in other situations, but there's no identical church. There's no identical church plant. There's no identical way to hand over a ministry. Like, and I
handing think, over a ministry is a, it's just a, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's it. I think like for you and then I've done this before. I've done it. I did it again after you, I handed over another ministry.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I handed over one before you too. I'm a chronic. I should have sat in the chair.
You should have.
But I feel like it's in a lot of ways easier to kind of start something up and get it going. I guess that's because that's what I feel like I'm gifted to do, church planting, than it is to be the guy that's faithful day in, day out. Like we're in it for the long run. Like you said, everybody else is leaving. Like we have right here at this church in Florida, we have five families from Portland, Oregon, or like the Vancouver, Washington area.
Yeah.
That moved because of COVID and all that.
You know? Yeah.
They all moved to Florida.
Yeah.
From New York, from California.
Yeah. You
know? And so, but to be the guy that stays and says, I'm not here just to start something or to see something get going. I'm here for the long haul. I think that's in my view, a much higher calling and maybe even much more difficult task.
Yeah. It's so funny. Cause you always seem to want to have the gifts that other people have and you know, you don't, and it lives in that whole comparison thing. And then we're in such a comparison culture where if you take over the church for a long time, you're compared to the person who left. And I did that to myself, dude, for a while. I was like, like an unhealthy way. Like it wasn't of the Lord. It was like the devil's tactics to discourage me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Bro, and that's so why you should have just thought of that that helicopter. You know, that's why you just need to have that in front of your mind the whole time. Like, man, he might have been all right at pastoring, but, you know, he looked like an idiot one day when he did that.
I had it on repeat, man, just to tell myself. And I was like, let's come up with all the things Brian could have done better, just so I feel better about myself. But, you know, it was like, it became clear to me, the Lord was like, dude, because, okay, you're going to get real.
Yeah.
You go through COVID, right?
Yeah.
And in this, and so during COVID, some churches really swelled all of a sudden.
Yes.
And some churches became real empty. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then it became this thing to where the churches that got real big, they experienced a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm. Numerical growth.
Numerical growth.
Yeah. Those were the good ones.
You're right. Right.
So they were one of the bad ones.
We were a bad one. Not to everybody, but the people that are bad, they're bad. And then here's what happens, though. Yeah. And I noticed it when someone came here from another church. And so, and God bless people, you know, they're God's people and he loves them. And we're called to just serve them and lead them and like shepherd them and stuff. But here's what I noticed. The first thing people would say is, oh, we love this church because, and then when the last place we were at, we left because. So
they always have to do that. Yeah.
You got an immediate comparison.
Yeah.
And so you start living by, ooh, we're doing better than them.
Yeah.
Okay. And that feeds into pride. And then, or it's like, oh, but we're not doing as good as them, which feeds into pride as well. It's just
you're
like
listening to your own praise report and discouraging report.
Yeah. And obviously it's not healthy, but it's like, it's a real thing because you're always being compared and contrasted. And so and I found myself being like, oh man, if we just had like as much resources as them, then we could do this. Or if we just had a building and the Lord just laid on my heart. He's like, dude, you have everything to do. You have everything you need to do what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
And it just really reframed like, okay. And it just to quit the comparison culture and to just be free from all of that. And you know, to give you a high five in that, it's something that like I feel is one of your strengths, you know, at least on the outside. Like Brian is cool with who he is and how God has put him together. And I know that's part of the reason our paths, you know, crossed is for someone to just, cause you remember I was like, you felt like I was in trouble, you know, when we had to have a meeting or whatever. And you're just like, bro, there was just like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's anyways,
that's another long story. And I think for another episode is coming out of an unhealthy relationship with another pastor.
Yeah.
Especially a pastor that is over you. And, but that's not for today. That's not for now, but you know, I think you've done a great job. You are doing a great job. I'm going to come back up and visit. And, like, honestly, I think we started the church and everything, but you've replanted, refreshed it, taken it to a place that is perfect for Bellingham, perfect for the time that you live in. And you were faithful during those years of, you know, having to do things just, I mean, COVID messed everybody up, but, you know, in that city, especially it wasn't easy. So.
Yeah, we just said our whole like the way we filtered all of that was when we look back on this time in 5 years, we want to be able to be like, oh, we did a good job there, as opposed to like reacting so quick in the moment.
Yeah.
Because like we're gonna be here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when the economy is back to normal, when life is back to normal, people are still gonna be broken and hurting and empty and searching for God. So we just started using the term, we just want to play the long game.
Yep.
God's grace is the long game. And so we're looking back, you know, a few years later and you know,
God's grace is the long game.
Yeah.
Hang on. I got to write that down.
It's true. It's good.
Yeah. That was good. Do you always say that? Or do you just come with it right now?
No, I've been saying it.
Okay.
God plays the long game with us, so we play the long game with our communities.
Great. All right, JJ. Speaking of time flying, it's time to end our episode. Yeah. And we'll get back together and talk about some more stuff, because I think going more in depth on strategies for handing over, and I know in our situation it was tough because, you know, not only with COVID, but also just we didn't really have, it would be nice to have like guidance through it and like advice from people that have done it. And I tried to do that as much as possible, but you know, you can't be good at everything.
Well, and we've done it now and it's cool. We've learned some stuff, and I've even been like, dude, if we plant in the future, here's like a few things that should at least be in like the forefront. Like we should really think through some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Cause it's, you know, it's like, yeah, you can't learn it until you do it sometimes. And
yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All true. Right. Well, then you have to stay tuned for JJ Johnson part two.
Yeah. It'd be awesome.
All right. Well, thanks for hanging, man. Good talking with you, and we'll talk to you later.
Love you, bro.
All right. Thanks for listening. The Cultivate Church Planting Podcast is part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. Check out cgnmedia.org for more great shows and ways to support the ministry.